Very pleasant good morning to everyone, and Tracy has already welcomed each, and I echo that. Thank you for joining us. If you're visiting with us from the community and you live close, we're so glad you're here. Or if you are traveling through and live distant, we're glad you're here as well. Some are family members who are visiting. We're glad you're here also. How many of you have your Bible this morning? How many of you have an electronic Bible this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you have the Bible Paul used? Raise your hand. No. I had a guy tell me one time, said, I use the King James Version because that's the one the Apostle Paul used. Okay. Whatever you have, however you have it, I want you to turn to Philippians, the first chapter, and read with me the first 11 verses. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's hard for me to believe, but my firstborn had a birthday on Friday. And as we're driving in the car to school that morning, with Alex in the back seat and Leah in the front seat, because it takes her 30 minutes to do her makeup, I told them, I said, Sharon's birthday's today. And Alex said, how old is she? And I said, 39. And he said, good grief, that's old. Well, it is to somebody his age. And that's the thing about kids. Have you ever noticed they always want to know how old you are? I know one older lady said, I'm old enough to know better than to answer that question. But it is amazing how your life perspective changes on that question of how old is old as you keep having those birthdays. What was it, Satchel Paige, the venerable but baseball legends, asked the question, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? How do you handle aging? How do you handle it? Well, I think it helps to have a little sense of humor about that. My great aunt lives in Dixon County, and she had a birthday yesterday. She's 103. 103. She became a widow some 20 years ago. And after Uncle Ralph died, Aunt Margarine went and bought a mannequin. Did you hear what I said? A mannequin. I don't know where you buy a mannequin. But she got one. And she took that mannequin and she set him in the passenger side of her car. And she put Uncle Ralph's coat on him, and she put Uncle Ralph's hat on him, and she drove all over Dixon County for years with this mannequin in the passenger seat. I said, Aunt Marjorie, why do you do that? She said, nobody messes with a woman when she's got a mannequin in her car, you know? And she still has a sense of humor about things. You know, when the Apostle Paul talks to us about bearing the fruit of joy, do you understand that has nothing to do with age? Nothing. It has nothing to do with geography. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with marital status. It has nothing to do with looks. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It has everything to do with the choice you make. And I will affirm that happiness and this kind of joy is a choice. And it is yours to make. It is a matter of attitude. And this matter of attitude comes, if you just keep stripping it away, it comes from a deep down level of confidence and trust in God. That's what it's all about. It's knowing that He is at work in my life, that He is in control, that He is in the midst of whatever has happened, is happening, or will happen. At every age. The age has nothing to do with it. And either we fix our minds to that truth and learn to smile as we pass all of those birthdays that are coming, or we wail and whine and moan and groan and complain and gripe about everything for the rest of our lives. It's your choice. What was it the poet said? One ship drives east and the other drives west with the self-same winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails, not the gales, which tell us the way to go. It's true. This kind of joy, Holy Spirit produced joy, is not determined by which way the winds are blowing today. Because external circumstances are not always placid and peaceful. Today may be calm for you, but tomorrow may not be. And so how are you going to handle that? And so your life success or lack thereof will be determined by the set of your sails. And either your attitude will be driven by the winds of others who would love to blow you off course, or you set your sails for joy and let God direct your life through the pages of Scripture. I want you to look at Scripture in Philippians, the first chapter. Because you're talking here about a decade of encouragement. There's only 104 verses of this little letter. And yet it's packed from beginning to end with thanksgiving. And the reason that this delightful little piece of divine mail brought smiles to the face of those reading it in the first century was because of the very first beginning of the letter. It starts out, Paul. We sign letters at the end. They sign letters in the beginning. And as they opened this and began to read it, and as they read it to the congregation, Paul. What memories must have swirled in their minds as they read that name. And had it been 10 years, had it been a decade since Paul had been there and brought the gospel to their town, if you go back in the book of Acts, and we don't have time to do that this morning, but if you travel back there and you read about the planting of the seed in the city of Philippi, you know that it wasn't just initially well received. Paul was thrown in jail for his faith. But even in jail, his contagious joy could not be squelched. You remember the account? There was an earthquake. Here's the jailer who feared that the prisoners had escaped. And here is Paul telling him, do yourself no harm. We are all here. Had it been 10 years since that happened? And yet in that decade of time, the bond between Paul and these Philippian Christians had grown even stronger one with the other. And so you can see the smile on their faces as they read the letter. Paul and Timothy, he was loved and respected too. And what a comfort for them to know that their beloved brother was in prison for his faith, but that he wasn't alone. Timothy was ministering to him. But continue reading in verse 1. To all the saints. The word saint is an interesting word. It's an interesting word because of what the Roman Catholic Church has done to that word. It has just given people the mindset. Saint, you think cathedral. Saint, you think of a stone marble statue. Saint, you think of some kind of marble icon that's larger than life. Listen, Paul isn't writing to statues. He's not writing to marble icons larger than life. He's writing to people who happen to be a lot like you and me. Just ordinary people. And he writes to these Christians, and he says in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is something that comes to you that you don't deserve. Peace is something that comes to you because of His grace. So you want a reason to smile even as life gets hard. Here it is, grace and peace. God sent His Son to die for you on the cross. Grace. The result is peace. That you can have, that the world does not have. Could have, but not everybody does. But what was the secret of Paul's joy? His thanksgiving. Look in verses 3 through 5. If you've got your notes in front of you on the back page, write this down. He had a pleasant memory, or he had pleasant memories of these people. He had pleasant memories of these people. When Paul thought back about these converts in this Macedonian city of Philippi, his mind is flooded with memories. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In the Philippians, Paul gave thanks for one of life's greatest blessings. People. Reliable people, dependable people, solid, spiritually strong people. Didn't start out exactly that way. It started out as you move past the conversion of Lydia in Philippi. It started out with Paul being cast in jail. But that's not what he remembered. When he thinks back, he doesn't remember the mistreatment. He thinks back over the 10 years, and he thinks about the loving relationship he has with them. Verse 5, in view of your participation in the gospel from day number one, he says, all the way till now. What was he thankful for? He said, I think back about all of the memories I have of you. Secondly, what was he thankful for? He had a firm confidence in God. Look in verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. How can Paul say that? Because he knew God was in control. That's how. God was in control of his life. God was in control of their lives. He's in control of everything. I am confident, he says in verse 6. When you have that level of confidence, you can handle anything. When you have that level of confidence, you have no trouble bearing the fruit of joy. But then again, his confidence in God was not a new thing. Go back a decade, 10 years prior, he's sitting in a Philippian jail. What is he doing there? He's worrying. He's wringing his hands. Not doing that. Even in jail, he knew there had to be a reason. Even in jail, he knew God was in control. Even in jail, he knew that things would just, whatever the will of God would be, he would accept that. And so when the clock struck midnight, he turns to Silas and he says, hey, let's sing hymns. Let's sing. You don't sing in jail. Who does that? You ever watch the movie Elf? How many of you have already seen it this season? I love that scene, you know. I'm in the store and I'm singing. You don't sing in a store. People put you in jail. You start doing that. Well, I tell you what, you don't sing in jail either. But Paul did and Silas did. And the text says, Dr. Luke writes, and he says, the other prisoners were listening to them. It certainly got their attention. And certainly got the attention of the jailer. And ladies and gentlemen, when you have that kind of trust in God, then worry and stress and fear is not a part of your life. Doesn't mean it doesn't keep trying to sneak in. But nothing will steal your joy any quicker than worry and stress and fear. But when you believe God is in control, I mean, either He is or isn't. When you believe God is in control, that God can take care of you. Don't we sing that song? God will take care of you. When you really believe that, then you're not going to allow yourself to keep being jerked around by worry and stress and fear. You got worries? Turn them over to Him. You got stress? Take it to the throne. You got fears? Talk to Him about it. What was it that Paul says over in the 4th chapter, verse 13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the solution. And then write this down, number 3. He loved his brethren. He loved them. Verse 7. It is only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. Verse 8. For God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I've heard people say about Paul that he was rather cold. He was heartless, emotionless. I don't see that. I see the opposite. Read this letter to Philippi and you'll see the very opposite. Here is a man who opened his life. Here was a man who dropped the mask. Here was a man who was real and authentic. And he wasn't afraid to show it and he wasn't afraid to say it. You know, we can have the right doctrine. We can be organized the right way. We can worship according to the Scriptures. We can engage in the work of the church according to the Scriptures. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't have love, it profits us nothing. Nothing. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This man wasn't afraid to say it. He wasn't afraid to show it. And look at his specific prayer in verse 9. He prays for their abounding love. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more. And stay in verse 9. He prays for their keen discernment. And that you may abound in real knowledge and all discernment. Paul doesn't just pray that they just love, 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 and love goes everywhere. No, that's not what he says. He says, I pray that your love may abound, but stay in bounds. I pray that your love may abound, but stay in bounds. It's like a river. It's like a river that flows that needs to be kept within its banks, and so it is with love. What are the banks of this love? He says, real knowledge. There's Holy Spirit teaching. There's God's instruction in the Word. Real knowledge and all discernment. There is the wisdom to take the Holy Spirit teaching in the Word and apply it to our lives. Paul says, I want you to grow. But I want you to grow in real knowledge. And I want you to grow in all discernment. And at the core of that is respect for what God says. Verse 9, and this I pray, verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with righteousness, with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus to the glory and praise of God. I was reading that yesterday and I took out my highlighter and I highlighted to the glory and praise of God. Because folks, that's what it's all about.
That's it.
You know, we have a lot to be thankful for this week. But then again, we have a lot to be thankful for every week. And Paul was thankful. Even in prison, he was thankful. I hope you are too. And when you think of Thanksgiving, and our minds are naturally in that direction this week, when you think of Thanksgiving, that is, things for which you are thankful, let's be thankful for the bond that we have in Christ. And the reason we have it in Him. You know, there's so many people that need our prayers. And I think of my brother Chris, who's having tests tomorrow. And potential heart surgery. I think we need to pray for him. Let's pray for Chris right now. Father, we are bowed before you, thanking you for all the blessings you provide us and you pour into our lives. And Paul states it so clearly, the blessing of not being alone, but you have surrounded us by brethren, brothers and sisters that we have in Christ, spiritual siblings that we, through Jesus, we have this wonderful common bond that we sing about. Indeed, blessed be that tie that binds our hearts together. And our minds, Father, this morning are upon all of those who are struggling physically. And we have several. And we are mindful of them all, Father, and we know that you are as well. We pray right at this moment, Father, for Brother Chris Harris as he has tests tomorrow and as doctors seek to determine the best course of action for him. And we pray that you will give them wisdom. We pray for the clarity of the tests, that they can determine the right course of action, and that his problem can be quickly rectified, and that he can be made well, and that he can continue on. And we just pray, Father, that you will be with him, strengthen him, help him to know how much we care about him and are lifting him up, and his family, and so many others. Father, we pray that you will be with our number. And in this week of thoughts in which we are thankful so much for the hope that we have and for the help that you give us. Help us never to take any of it for granted. Strengthen our faith, bless our families, and help us all to love each other. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing the song of invitation this morning. If you're not a child of God, if you're walking out of step with Him because you've never stepped into Him, you can be baptized into Christ today. We can help you. Or if we can help you in some other way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing together.